Begin the current daf, Masechta Zechariah, daf Dalet. Begin on the bottom of Gimel Mabez, on the second line up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our previous Mishnah. The Mishnah had opened up with the case of where the court made this erroneous ruling, and the court realized their mistake, and they retracted. However, there was an individual who did not get the memo, and thought that it's still permitted, and he went, and he did that iser. So there's machlekes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar in the Mishnah regarding what is this person's status. Shimon said the person's exempt because he was still following the ruling of the court. He didn't hear about that they retracted, and therefore he's exempt. Whereas Rabbi Lazar said that no, it's a suffix, meaning that he's going to be chayav b'nashim tali because it's not so clear if this is a person that was aware or he should have been aware or he wasn't aware, and therefore he has to bring an ashim tali like someone who's in doubt if he violated an iser, then he brings a karban ashim tali. Now, and that Agamar continues and adds on two more Tanoim to this discussion. Tanya learned the Braisa, Remeir Mechayiv. Remeir actually holds that the individual is liable where for regular Karmachatas because he's considered Tela Ba'atzmai, because the court retracted. So he has nothing to do with the court. He can't hang his coat on them and say, oh, I didn't realize. They retracted, and now he's doing his own mistake, so he's going to bring a carbon. Rabbi Shimon, as he's quoted in our Mishnah, says Paiter, he exempts the individual because he considers the person as Toil Bebezin, because the person was unaware and he was following what he had known to be the ruling of the court. Rabbi Lazar, as he says in our Mishnah, Safik, is he's in doubt, therefore he brings the Ashim Tali. Fourth opinion, Mishum Sumchas Amru Tali, in the name of Sumchas, they said that this person is hanging in suspension. What does that mean? What's the difference between that and what Rabbi Lazar said? So Amr Biechni says, Ashim Tali Ikebinayu. The difference between Rabbi Lazar and Sumchas is regarding a liability of having to bring an Ashim Tali. According to Sumchas, the person does not bring an Ashim Tali, an Ashim, which type of guilt offering of suspension, because that what Sumchas was saying was is that the person's action is ambiguous, is hanging in the air. In other words, you cannot say that maybe he was Tayla Ba'atzma, he was really relying on himself and everybody's going to be Chayav a carbon, because he's not really a bona fide person to be liable, where in the case where if someone has in front of himself a piece of fat, doesn't know if it's a kosher piece or non-kosher piece, and he eats it, so there it makes sense that the person would be liable for Ashim Tali, because you could say that maybe he really did eat a piece of chaylev, which would be a bona fide liability for a carbon. But here in this situation, you can't say that maybe this guy was really relying on himself, because he was relying on the court's ruling. So therefore, obviously, his action is not so clear, meaning for him to be liable based on, that is, if he was relying on himself, because there's nothing really clear and distinct here for us to say that he was relying on himself, and because really he was relying on the court. So therefore, he's not going to bring an Ashim Tali. If you say that could be he really was doing something wrong, could be he was a piece of chaylev, we don't know, so then it brings a carbon Ashim Tali. But here, what essentially he means to say is Tali is that even the action itself is not even technically able to be something that's a bona fide iser, because we don't really have good logic for us to tell us that he was really relying on himself, so therefore he's not going to be chayav Ashim Tali. So the Gemara explains, Amr Abzeri says, Mashal Rabbi Lazar L'ma Davadayma. So first he explains the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, who says that it is enough of a suffix of a doubt to be liable Ashim Tali. He says, but you could compare it to a person who ate a piece of fat, which was doubtful if it was forbidden fats or kosher fats, and he thought it was kosher fats. The Nidalei, then he became aware that it actually was a doubtful piece and might have been usher, shemevi ashram, where then he brings a carbon ashram tali, because maybe he did eat a piece of forbidden fat. So it says, Reb Zeir and Reb Elazar's opinion, same thing over here, is that you could say that maybe he was relying on himself, and he wasn't really relying on the court's ruling because they had backed out. Now, as we continue, top of Dalam and Alf continues the Gemara. We don't have to say, what's a machlaik is regarding the parhelm dovish al tzibur, who brings the carbon? Is it the public or is it the bezdin? So that explains Reb Zeir in the opinion of Reb Elazar. We don't have to say, according to the one that says that it's the public who brings it, that when they bring their atonement, the mefarsim amilsa, if the whole Jewish people is bringing one carbon together, because they had the majority filed erroneously in the court ruling, and now they found out what they did was wrong, that for sure it would make sense for us to say that this individual who didn't get the memo wasn't really relying on the court, because everybody knows the word is out, because everyone's chipping in to bring it together. El afil amandam, but says Reb Zeir, that even according to the opinion that says that when the court makes an erroneous ruling and the Jewish people follow their ruling, that it's Bez Demavian, that it's the court that brings the bull. But the Jewish people themselves are exempt, where there you could say Dulemafarsamil, so that the word doesn't get out so much, because it's only the court that they have to take care of their problem, what they did. And therefore you could say that this individual was all along relying on the court. Even so, says Reb Zeir and Reb Elazar, it's still reason to tell us that he wasn't really relying on the court, because he could have asked that why is the court bringing a bull? Ehav Ashol, had he asked, Hava Amenle, people would have told him that, oh, because they made a mistake and they retracted from the erroneous ruling. So therefore, there's room for us to say that he was relying on himself, and therefore there is a bona fide, a valid station to tell us that he was relying on himself. Therefore, it's not definite, because ultimately he didn't hear, but it's enough to bring in Hashem Tali. That's the explanation of Rabbi Lazapin. Now, Amr B'Yisi Bar Avin, V'yitim Esam B'Yisi Bar Zvida, he explains, Mashal de Sumchis L'madav Adema. What could we compare the opinion of Sumchis, who held that the whole action is Tali? It's not even a tzad to say that the bona fide is to bring a Hashem Tali. You can compare it, La'adim Shevi Kaparase Ben Hashmashas. A person had to bring a Korban Chatas, his atonement, and he brought it Ben Hashmashas by twilight, which it's a suffix. It's in doubt. Did he bring it when it was still day, and therefore that was a bona fide atonement when you have to bring a carbon during the daytime? Or suffik mishach hasheich niskapalei, maybe the atonement was happening when it was already dark, which is not a valid atonement, because the pasuk says b'yom tzavoyis, on the day that it's commanded, where you have to bring your carbon during the daytime. With halacha is that the individual is going to be patur from bringing another carbon. And she'ein mevi ashram tali, that he doesn't bring an ashram tali that, okay, I don't know, maybe I still owe a carbon, maybe not. Now, Rashi addresses a side question, although must be then that whoever's bringing this carbon by twilight is already bringing the carbon after the Tamid Shabbin Arbaim, where you're not allowed to bring any carbon after the afternoon, evening carbon of the Tamid. That's not an invalidation, says Rashi. As Gemara says, M'sachem Dafnu Tesamid Aleph, that the positive commandment, for example, of Pesach and of eating Kachim overrides this positive commandment of Hashlam, of having the last carbon being the Tamash Rabbein Abayim. So too, there's many different answers over there to avoid that problem. But one thing, says the Gemara, is that over here, by Bein Hashmashes, by twilight, there isn't really a valid option for us to say that this person is going to have to bring a new, that as if he's in a problematic situation. Because you can't say that maybe he brought it when it was literally dark, because no one's bringing when it's dark time. It's just that it was by twilight. Now twilight, according to Rabbi Yossi's opinion, Masechet Brachos, is clarifying the blink of an eye, which means to say that no one could really ascertain clearly if this guy brought his carbon, was it from daytime or from nighttime. And we see the halacha is over there that the person's going to be exempt. So says the Gemara, in the opinion of Sumcha, so too over here, you can't say that this person was literally lying on himself. It's not really such a bona fide option, because the court had ruled and he was following that ruling. So therefore, the same thing would apply over here, that he wouldn't bring an Ashem Tali. And the Gemara explains, we don't have to say that this would apply according to the one who says that it's the court that brings the carbon, the par, and not the people, where the word, of course, doesn't even get out, because it's just a court taking care of that thing. So for sure, explains the halacha in Sumchas, that it's a yachid that's being tailed in Bezna, he would be positive. But even according to one that says that it's the people that bring it, and you could say, what do you mean? How could this guy have, how could you say it's tailed in Bezna? How could you not say it's tailed in Ba'atzma, at least to be a bona fide option to bring your Ashram Tali? But the Mefarsa Milsa, but everyone hears about it, and of course he knows. And Vahava Amrle, and we would have told him, we would have said, well, of course, it's over, that ruling, that everyone knows that that's an erroneous ruling. And therefore, this person is not a Yochad that's Tehle Bebezna, is relying on himself. Even so, says the Gemara in Sumchis, no, this person is considered Tehle Bebezna, and when he was doing it based on that ruling. Why? Because the Hachal, here in this case, as the gear says, kis safik mi ba'idyoim safik mi chashech. It's like that case we described before, when it's a doubt, was it during the daytime that the carbon was brought, or by nighttime? Why? Because ishayel lo ashkech inish de mishayle. It's the person didn't entertain to think, why are the public bringing a par? People don't usually ask those type of questions. So therefore, says the Gemara in Sumchas, there really isn't any bona fide even option of saying that this person is liable. Because the option of exemption really is more appropriate, more rational to say that this guy was doing this action because he was relying on the court, and therefore that's what the explanation in Simcha's opinion is when he says Tali. is the whole action is tali. Meaning to say that the person is not even going to bring a nashim tali doesn't really even make sense for us to really think that it was tali ba'atzmoi, and therefore he's going to be pater. Now the Gemara goes back to the halacha of our Mishnah that Amalei Ben Azze said to Rabbi Kiva, Maishno min hayosha v'chulu, which Rabbi Kiva had said that he agrees to the qualification that the Mishnah had made in Rabbi Laz's opinion, that when is it a suffix to bring an asham tali, when is the person going to be chayiv, where if he was sitting in his house, then he's going to be chayiv, where, okay, then we could say if he was around town, he would have heard, but we're not sure, so the asham tali. But if he went overseas, so then he's going to be pater because there's no reason for us to assume that he would have heard. And he's still relying on the court's ruling that he was going to be pater. And Rabbi Kiva says, I agree in this case where it's more rational to say that he's exempt than to be liable because why should he have heard? He wasn't even here. He was overseas. On that, Ben-Azeh asked, why? What's the difference between someone who was sitting in his house and didn't hear any news or someone that went overseas didn't hear any news? So on that, Rabbi Kiva responded that no, and the person's house, he's in town. So he very easily could have heard the word. He goes to shul, he goes wherever it is, he should have heard. And therefore there's room for us to say that at least the chayiv in the asham tali. But overseas, he had no connection whatsoever, so therefore he's going to be exempt. So on that, asked the Gemara, so Shabu Kamali Rabbi Kiva Ben-Azeh. So seemingly Rabbi Kiva had a good response to Ben-Azeh. What would Ben-Azeh hold that he says that there's no difference? So Amar Rav, he says, you're right. Hichzik baderech. If the person had already been on the road, on his way to go overseas, but he's still in town, that's the difference between them. You're right. Ben-Azeh would agree that if the person is in the house itself, there's no difference than being in town. And there's a very fundamental difference between that guy and the guy who's overseas. What we're talking about over here in Hayesha Bebesa is he's home, he's in town, but he's already packing up, he's already in busy with his preparations to leave to go overseas. That's Ikke Ben-Azeh. Ben-Azeh held that the person would be liable because the Habe Beis HaYisrael, because ultimately he's in town. Rabbi Kiva Patr, but Rabbi Kiva held the person is going to be exempt, because the person already is on his road and he's busy and he's perturbed, and therefore it wasn't possible to hear that they backed out. So therefore, he's considered Toilet Bebezin and he's going to be totally exempt. That's the case that Rabbi Kiva was saying that, yeah, I agree over here that it's more Karev Lifter, Menachayva, and that Ben-Azeh was saying that why should the person be exempt? He's still in town. That's the case of their Machlekes, but a guy who's regularly in town, yeah, that's not a case that they're disagreeing about. That, of course, a person would hear about and he'd be Chayiv. Their Machlekes is regarding a person who is in town, but he was preparing his trip to leave. Mishnah continued with a separate halacha regarding these halachas. Haruloi bezin lakas kalaguf. If the court ruled to uproot an entire mitzvah, so then their pater that does not apply for this halacha of bringing a par. But however, as the Gemara will explain also, if they were mevatel mitzvahs and mekayim mitzvahs, they only were uprooting part of a mitzvah, that's where the liability of this halacha of par helm davar shel tzibur. So the Gemara explains tarban lenna braisa. Benelam David, it says in the Pasuk that if the thing was eluded from them and they made an erroneous ruling, that's when this halacha applies. But not if they came to uproot an entire mitzvah. Kate said, how so? As our Mishnah had said this too. Amra ain't need about Torah. They said there's no halacha of menstruating women in the Torah. Or ain't Shabbos but Torah. There's no halacha of prohibition of malacha, of the halachas of Shabbos in the Torah. Or ain't Abu Tzkechav Matar. There's no halacha of idol worship in the Torah. Yachal Yuchayav, and you would think they would be liable for the Parhelm Davish al Tzibur. Talmud Loima Menelam Dov, that's what it says, that the thing was eluded from them. Veloisha Tesal Mitzvah Kula, but not that it should be a lapse of awareness from an entirety of a mitzvah. And therefore, Harela Patur, and in these type of cases, they'll be exempt, even if the majority of the people follow them, from the Parhelm Davish al Tzibur. Aval, but Amr Yesh Nidib Tur. Let's say you say, no, of course there's halacha sub need in the Torah. Aval habas shemeres yim kineged yim pater. But regarding one of the aspects of the halacha, regarding a woman who in her 11 days of ziva, she saw one day blood, then she has to go ahead and safeguard, make sure she doesn't see the next day, and then she'll be tar. That's halacha, they said, that doesn't apply. Or, yes, Shabbos pater. They say, of course, the halachas of Shabbos and the tar. Aval amitzi mishrusa yachal shrusa ram pater. But regarding someone takes out and carries from one domain to another domain, to a public domain, that malacha mitzvah, that doesn't apply. That a person would be exempt. Or, yes, avodis kechav matayra. Or let's say, of course, this halacha is avodis zon the Torah. Av mashtach the potter. But if someone bows down, regarding that, he's going to be exempt. That says the Braisa Yachal Yud Patur, and you think in those cases also the person would be exempt, meaning the court, that they wouldn't have to bring Param Helm Damashil Zibur. Tamalem Ben Helm Dabba, that's the Pasuk teaches that the thing is eluded from them, Veloy Kalaguf, and not the whole thing. But if it's a part of a thing like this case we just described, then they're going to be chayav that bull of the helam davar, of the elapse of the witness of the thing, shel tzibur, when it applies to the majority of the Jewish people. That's the braisa. Amamar, the town of the braisa said that at the end, yuchel yu paturin, you would think that these cases of when these bitl mixes v'kiyim mixes, which is that, yeah, there is Shabbos, there is avodah zarah, there is nida, but some of the aspects of the halachas are permitted. So the Braisa says, you would think over there that the Bezin would be potter. Oh, that's what we have to teach it. No, v'nelam davar, if it's only regarding part of the halacha, then they're going to be chav that par helam davar shel tzibur. Now, that havamina, that assumption that the Braisa wants to make, the Gemara asks, but v'i b'ki mitzvah with bitl mitzvah p'turim. But if in that case of when they nullified part and was keeping part of the mitzvah, you want to say that the court would be exempt, and as the beginning of the Braisa taught us, u'bakiris kalaguv p'turim, when they uprooting the entire mitzvah, that we said for sure they're exempt, so then b'may chayavin. Then what would be the case that the halacha and the Torah tells us that the court is chayav par helam davar shel tzibur, if when you uproot the whole thing, you p'tur, and if you want to say even in the havamina, that also bitl mitzvah is also going to be p'tur, so when there's a liability? Says the Gemara, no Tana hachik kashli. What the question, the havamina of the Tana was aim a davar that you should interpret when the Torah says v'nelam davar, it's kula milsa mashma. It means that if the court is coming to uproot the entirety of the mitzvah, because it doesn't say v'nelam may davar, that it was eluded from them from the thing. And what the Gemara's question, what the Bryce's question was, what maybe say the exact opposite. Say, if the court was ruling to nullify part and to keep part of the halacha, then you would think that they would be pater. And to the contrary, when they're coming to uproot the entirety of the mitzvah, then they should be chayiv. Because v'nelam davar sounds like the whole thing, not made davar from the thing. Tamalayim v'nelam davar, that's what the Braisa concludes and says. That's what the Pasuk says, that it was alluded from them, the thing to teach us that it's talking about only by bitl mixtus and ki mixtus, that's when the chiv is. Which the Gemara asks, my mashma. To the contrary, where do you see from v'nelam that it's talking about ki mixtus and bitl mixtus? If anything, you could say davar means the whole thing. Where do you see that it's part of the thing? So Amaula, he says, because kari be v'nelam mi davar. You could read the pasuk, although it says v'nelam davar, as if it says v'nelam mei davar, that was looted from, which means part of. Because the mem, at the end of the word v'nelam, you actually could use that mem not only as the end of the previous word, but as the beginning of the next word, what's called nidreshes lefanav v'la'achrav. And you could read it v'nelam mei davar, which sounds like from the thing and not the whole thing. Chizki Amar, he gives a different approach. He says, you can answer this question from the end of the pasuk. Because Amakra, the pasuk says over the Yikra, it says, v'asu achas mikol mitzvahs. And that if they do, erroneous based on this psak, from the mitzvahs. Now, the word mem, may call mitzvahs, sounds like that from the entirety of the mitzvah of Shabbos, part of it they're going to do and part not, which is bitl mitzvahs akim mitzvahs. Or from part of the mitzvah of Dezara, which is also bitl mitzvahs akim mitzvahs. Or from all of the mitzvah of Nida, which is keeping some parts and not keeping some parts. But v'loy kol mitzvahs, but not regarding the entirety of a mitzvah, let's say of Shabbos, where he's uprooting the whole mitzvah, or the whole mitzvah of Nidah Avodah Zarah, where then they're uprooting the whole thing, that's not included in the halacha par helam davar shel tzibur. Now, this the Gemara asks, but mitzvah is tarti mashmi. Now, how are you understanding this? The word mitzvah is in the plural. It sounds like that when, for example, there is the halachas of Nidah and Shabbos Avodah Zarah, which is saying, va'asa achas mikol mitzvahs Hashem, that if they do erroneously violating from the mitzvahs of Hashem, meaning from the plural, from many mitzvahs, they go and they uproot one of them, but that sounds like meaning one of them, let's say from the group of Shabbos, Avodah Zarah, Nida, that either Shabbos or Avodah Zarah or Nida, but it sounds like but they're uprooting the entirety of that mitzvah. Because from the mitzvahs, one of the mitzvahs, that's mem, is telling you from one of those things. So how are you learning out that bitl mixes ki mixes, you could still say it means the oikru kala guf of the mitzvah itself. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, because although it's pronounced mitzvahs in the plural, mitzvahs ksiv, it's written with one vav, which sounds like one mitzvah. So the way you read the pasuk, based on the way it's written, is va'asa achas mikol mitzvahs, that if they go and they violate from the entirety of this one mitzvah, let's say of Shabbos, or one of the mitzvahs of Avodah Zarah, or one of the mitzvahs of Nida, which that's keeping part or violating part of Shabbos, or the same thing for Avodah Zarah, or for Nida, or for any mitzvah, where if it's Kiyum mitzvahs and Bitl mitzvahs, then it's Michai, but if it's uprooting the whole mitzvah, then it's Gmi Pater. Vashri Yomah, he brings a different source. It says, Yelav Dava Dava Mizakim Amr. It's Gzer Shava, the word davar from the halachas of a zaken mamre, the rebellious elder who goes against the court ruling of the Sanhedrin. The chsiv be bezaken mamre, it says there by the rebellious elder passing in devarim, ki poli mimcha davar, if it's going to be missing from you something regarding the appropriate halachic ruling, says the pasuk, you should not deviate from what the Sanhedrin tell you from the right and to the left. Now, ma mamre, just like the rebellious elder min hadavar v'loy kol davar, it's only when he comes to contradict them from an aspect of a law, but not an entirety of a law, because it, by the zaken mamre it says clearly min hadavar, as the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin of Peiches Mabez. If let's say the zaken mamre says there's no halach of tefillin to violate a clear law in the Torah, he's exempt. But if he says that there's five compartments in the tefillin, which is adding on to the words of the sages who interpret the Torah, then he's going to be chayiv, because that's min hadavar, but not the whole mitzvah itself. So too over here, regarding the erroneous ruling, is we learn that the gezeirah shavah of davar, just like over there, it's part of it, not the whole mitzvah itself. So too over here, it's going to be part of it, and not the whole mitzvah itself. Continues the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Mishmuel. He says, "Ein bezen chayavim." The court is not liable. In other words, it's not considered a full-fledged ruling on their part to then be liable for the erroneous ruling. Until they rule to permit bedavar something, which the Sadducees, who only read the literal translation of the Torah, not the rabbinic interpretation, which is actually Torah from Sinai, which was given as the oral law, that they don't agree that this thing is forbidden, which now the court is ruling that this forbidden thing is permitted, where since it's not written explicitly in the Torah, that's only something that when the court is ruling erroneously, that it'd be chayev. But regarding a ruling that even the Sadducees go ahead and they agree to it because it's written explicitly in the Torah, and then the court, the Jewish court comes and rules that it's actually permitted, peturin, they'd be exempt from halacha of parham davashot simba. My time, what's the reason? Because zil kari be ravu, this is something that go ahead and read this in cheder, in school, because since it's possible to learn it, because it's right there in the chumash, and to know this, so that's not considered valid to be an error on the part of the Sanhedrin. It's very close to being a deliberate sin, because how can you not know what a pasuk in chumash, and therefore that's not going to be qualified as the halacha of the hiras bezdin, and therefore they're going to be exempt in such a case. However, the Gemara asked on this halacha from our Mishnah. Tanan, we learned that the Mishnah said that if, let's say, the court says, yesh nida b'taira, of course there's halachas of regarding the menstruating woman in Taira, where her status in halacha is different than a non-menstruating woman. But if, let's say, they say, but one of the aspects are regarding the need to wait one day when she saw one day in the days of Ziva, that a woman's exempt, that's no problem. So he said, regarding such a case, that's when the chayiv for the parhelm davar shel tzibah, if the majority of Jewish people follow that erroneous ruling. Well, that is the Gemara, but vamai, based on what we just said from Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, shemer sim keneged yom hoksiv. But this halacha is an explicit pasuk in Mayikra, where it says, v'safra la, that she counts for herself the days of cleanliness, melamet shesaferis, echel echel. This tells us that she counts even one day of tahara correlating to the one day of tumah that she had, which is the halacha of shemer sim. She has to count, whether it be 7 days Shivanikim when she's a Zava, or even day by day if she only saw one day, not three days in a row. So that's an explicit pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel said that such a halacha, there is no liability for. So why does the Mishnah say that's a case of liability of Parhelm Dabashel Sibar? So the Gemara, no, the Amri, because the court had said, they didn't say that there's no halacha of Shemer Siyam Keneged Yom, because yeah, that wouldn't be a liability. That's a pasuk in the Chumash. What they did say was, Hara Sharia. But if, let's say, there's only genital contact, but not a full act of cohabitation, that's permitted with the Shemer Siyayim. Gemar Bi'ahuda Asir. Only a full-fledged cohabitation, that's going to be prohibited. And that says the Gemara Hanamik Siv. That's also a pasuk in the Torah. Pasuk says of a Yikra, and there's a pasuk in Perichav, pasuk Yitches, that says that if a man lays with a menstruating woman, and it says that Es Mekoira Hera, which the word hara is that he uncovers her source, her the area of the genital area of the nakedness, that even hara, which is the source of Allah of hara, just contact, not even full cohabitation, is prohibited. So that's also pasuk. So how can you say that's the case that it'd be chayiv for? If we said an explicit pasuk, that's not considered a case of shkaga. That's like almost deliberate. Says Gemara, no, it's the Amis where the court had said kedarka asira. It's only a full-fledged cohabitation in the normal way with a woman, in the normal way of cohabitation, that's prohibited. Shaloi kedarka sharia, but anal, but in the non-natural way of cohabitation, that's actually going to be permitted. That's the halacha they were saying for the Shemer Yisrael Keneged Yoyim, that it's permitted, which is really prohibited, but it's not said in the Pasuk. That's where they permit it. And that says the Gemara, but even Shaloi Kedarka, even cohabitation in an unnatural way, is also ksiv. It also says in the Pasuk, previously it says, Mishke Ve'isha. It says that one's not allowed to have the copulations with a woman, which is in the plural, two types of laying. What do you mean? Because a woman has two orifices, one normal way and one in the unnatural way. So that's also a pasuk. So I can say that's the case of when they made an erroneous ruling, which is not explicit in the Torah. It is explicit. So Zigmar no Da'ami, the court had said, Kedarka Aser Afila Hara. The normal way of cohabitation is prohibited even with just contact. Because that's the pasuk where it says, Es Mekaira Hara, that he's revealing her place, the makar is in the normal place, which is called kedarka. But they had said, b'shaloi kedarka, but if it's done in an unnatural way, so although we have a pasuk mishke b'isha that says that there's a prohibition of having relations with an erva, which includes the isha b'nida, even in an unnatural way, but what the court had ruled was that's only gemar b'yehuda asa, that's only but a full act of cohabitation is prohibited. Av hara sharia, but shaloi kedarka, if it's done with just hara, just general contact, then that's going to be permitted. On that as the Gemara, but ihachi. But if that's the way you're qualifying what they had taught erroneously, which is not something that the tzedukin is moidimai, because it's not explicit pasig, then why did the Mishnah have to say this case specifically when they ruled it permitted? By Shemer Siyam Keneged Yoyim, Afila Nidanami. Well, that type of a case would apply to have a Kiyam Miktus and Bitl Miktus even by a full-fledged Nida. And that's still something that the tzedukin are not maida, because the pasuk doesn't say explicitly either regarding the nida that there's a liability of harash like gedarka. So why say it by shemer sem keneged yam? Even say it by the nida herself. Where the nida is a woman who sees and it's for 7 days that she's tummy no matter what, and even if she sees throughout, but she becomes tar. Whereas shemer sem keneged yam is a unique aspect of a halacha of gemay ziva. Why say it there specifically? It could be then even for the general category of nida. So ela oilam rather says the gemara gedarka. That the court had said that a shemeris yayim, which that's the case the Mishnah is talking about, was saying that hara, just contact, is permitted even in a normal way. And they were saying that because only a full act of cohabitation is prohibited. Now the question we had asked was, but it says explicitly in the Torah, hara, how could that be a case of davashayin that's duke maidabai, which we said that's the only way you're going to be chayif for the parham davashal tzibra. So says the Gemara, da'ami hara, this that it says in the Torah, a liability that's prohibited for hara, that in the pasuk of a yikra is be'isha davahu dechsiva. That pasuk is written only by the a woman that's a nida. Doesn't say it. There's yimei nida, which is for 7 days, and then the next 11 days are called yimei ziva. So it's not written in the category of shemeris yayim. So therefore, we cannot have said it by the nida, because you're right, nida explicitly does tell us applies even to hara. But it doesn't say by shemeris yayim. And therefore, it's not going to be something that the tzedukin amoidim by only specifically if it says regarding a shemeris yayim. And that was the halacha that was saying regarding hara, where it's not explicit. It's explicit by nida, but not by shemeris yayim. And it's regarding that their ruling was. Or the ibay same, if you want, you could say that this that you said that the halacha of shemeris yayim is written. And so we said, how could that be the case of saying shemeris yayim? There's no such halacha. And says the Gemara, no, it's not a difficulty. Because what is it that the Amri that they had said, they were saying that Zava loy havi ela, that the halacha of Zava, which Shemer Siyam is part of that, which is during those 11 days, is only if she sees blood, be mummy, during daytime. So simply the pasuk says Vayikra, and Tzedukin read these things literally, and they're not moida for things that are not literally. Kol yamei Zava, all the days of her Zava. But if she saw the blood during the nighttime, the court was ruling that then she's going to be tar. Which, that's the same thing for Shemer Yisrael, where they said that if she sees during the daytime, which is Bimei Zava, then she's going to be Chai, but not at nighttime. That's why we couldn't say it by Nida, only by Shemer Yisrael and by Zava, who sees at nighttime, because the pasuk that tells us, Be Mummy, by daytime, it says that only regarding the classification of Zava and Shemer Yisrael. Therefore, that's a hira and something that the tzedukin are not moedi, because they would actually read it's only during the daytime. And the court said it's not by nighttime, which really it is by nighttime too. And therefore, it's davashayin the tzedukin moedim, and that's why that would be a liability for the halacha parhelm davashal tzibah. The Gemara continues asking the same type of question from our Mishnah. It's not learning the Mishnah, the next category the Mishnah spoke about. If let's say the court said, yes, Shabbos b'tar. course, there's the laws of Shabbos in the Torah. But the court said, but don't worry, if someone carries from a private domain to a public domain on Shabbos, they're exempt, which they're eliminating one of the lamatas malachas of itzah. So that said, the Mishnah, then they're going to be chayef par helm davish al tzibur. Because it's not the full, it's not oikur kala guf, it's only part of the halachas of Shabbos. And that says, but why? Based on what Rabbi Yehuda Mishmo's teaching was, they said it can't be an explicit pasuk, and the malach of itzah is written explicitly a pasuk in Yirmiyah. It says, do not carry out a load from your house and bring it out into the street. So how can you say that that's going to be a liability if it's davashat stukin moitin bay? Says Gemara, no, the army, because the court had said, Haitzahu da asach nasam mutter. They had said that, yeah, of course, carrying out is forbidden, and that's a pasuk, but bringing in from public to private domain is permitted, where that's not explicit in the Torah, and that's what they were permitting, but that really is aser, and therefore that would be viable for parhelm davashat tzibah, or vibayisim if you want to say. No, the army, Haitzah vachnasu da asir. They said, no, you're right, carrying out and carrying in are both considered Haitzah, and they're both prohibited. But Meshid vezayrik shari, they said, but handing over or throwing from one domain to another, which is not explicitly written in the Torah, that that's permitted, that's really something that's aser, but it's not written explicitly in the Torah. That would be the case that there'd be chay par helm davashal tzim. Continues the Gemara asking again from our Mishnah from the next category. So now we said in the Mishnah, yesh avodis kechav matayrav. Let's say the court says, of course there's a yesh avodis zara in the Torah. Av mishtach v'pat, but if someone who bows down to avodis zara is exempt, so then we said they're going to be chayv. Says the Gemara, but why? I'm a shtach of oksiva, but bowing down to the explicit pasuk, the similar says in Shemais, leis a shtach of eleilachir. Now I bow down to a foreign god, to avodah zarah. So how can you say that's a case of being chayv? Says the Gemara, the army that they said, ki asira hishtach avoy kedarka. When did the Torah say that forbidden to bow down is only if it's normal? But if it's not normal, for example, if someone bows down to the avodah zarah of pa'or or makaylis, where it's not served in a respective way, like bowing down to it, they throw rocks or they defecate, then sharia, then they're saying that the Torah said it would be permitted, which really it's aser, it's not davashat dukan baidin bay, it's not explicit pasuk, and therefore you'd be chayiv. Or they be some, if you want, you could say, the army they said, ishtachavaya gufa kedarku da'aser. Only bowing down in the normal way of bowing is prohibited. The ispa pishad yidam raglaim, which is if someone stretches out all his entire body, his hands and his feet, like the pasuk says in Bereishis, veishtachu apayim artzu, fully on the floor. That's what they said the Torah makes forbidden. Ha'ishtachavoyed lespa pishad yidam raglaim sharia. But if someone bows down without fully stretch his hands and his feet, the court had ruled that that's permitted. And that's not something explicit in the Torah, because ishtachavoyed in the Torah makes it sound like you have to be totally stretched out. On that they had erroneously permitted, if you don't fully stretch out, that's something that's not something explicit in the Torah, and therefore one would be chayiv if the court erroneously ruled that way. Ketin Tamid Beis, with Boyer Reviyusav asks, and Reviyusav is not going on what we had just mentioned, that it has to be something of Rebhudah Mishmul's halacha of Davish in the Stuka Moidim Bay, rather going back on what we had qualified, that it has to be, like the halacha the Mishnah said, not totally uprooting a halacha. It has to be Bittel mitzvahs and kiyum mitzvahs. It has to be uprooting part of a mitzvah, but maintaining the other part of the mitzvah. Regarding that, Rav Yitzchak asked, let's say, ein charisha b'shabbos mahu. Let's say the court ruled, there's no problem about plowing on Shabbos. What's the halacha? What's his question? Mi amrina, do we say, kimin dokam moidu, since the court agrees and admits, bekula, that bekula milsa, that regarding all the other malachas of Shabbos, that it's prohibited, they agree, they're not uprooting all the malachas of Shabbos. So kibitl mixes v'kiyum mixes dummy. So therefore, that's considered as if they're only nullifying part of the halachas of Shabbos, which is one malacha of plowing, but they're maintaining the other malachas, and therefore it's going to be a liability for parhelm davashal tzibur. Ideal, or maybe kiyum duka akrin leila harisha kolika. Since they're uprooting entire malacha of plowing, kakiris guftam, it's considered like uprooting entire halacha, which therefore they're going to be exempt. So the Gemara says tashma, and the Gemara tries bringing the proofs that we just brought from our Mishnah regarding the previous halacha of Davash in the Stukim Maidim Bay, now we use them regarding this halacha of Ki Mixes and Bittel Mixes. The Mishnah has said, Yesh Nidu B'Tayrav. Let's say they say, of course there's halachas Nidu B'Tayrav. Aval Abash Amir Asim Keneged Yem Pater, but regarding if someone has relations with a woman who has to wait the next day, they say, oh, no problem, you're exempt, because really she doesn't have to safeguard that day. She doesn't have halacha of a type of a Nida because she saw one day, which really is halacha. So the Mishnah said, if they say that the person's pata, then they're going to be chayiv. V'amai, but why? Ha'karyin l'shemer yisim keneged yom kol ikr. They're totally uprooting the halacha of shemer yisim keneged yom. Now, although it's not the whole halacha of nida and zava, but it's a full halacha, it's a full category, obviously you see that that's not considered ikr kol aguf, even though it's entire halacha. And same thing would apply to Harisha. It's not Iker, the whole halacha of Shabbos. And therefore, they're going to be Chayiv. And that Amalachar of Yisrael is telling you that no. Shemer Siyayim de Ka'amrin, this that we said that the court was permitting relations with the Shemer Siyayim is Kedishnin, like we answered before regarding the previous Gemara's discussion, that it's not Iker Kal HaGuf, even of Shemer Siyayim, because the court wasn't permitting the entirety of a Shemer Siyayim. It was just like we said, either they were permitting hara, genital contact, or at nighttime, if that's when she had the blood, but it wasn't uprooting the whole thing. But if it was possibly that we're saying that permitting the entirety of a Shemer Siyayim, maybe it would be like we want to say for Harisha, then actually there would be potter because it is considered Iker Kol HaGuf. Tashma, the Gemara continues the next case of our Mishnah. Yes, Shabbos, but the court says, of course there's Shabbos in the Torah. But if someone just carries, does haitzah, then he's exempt. Then says the Mishnah, they're going to be chayiv if the majority of Jewish people follow them. But why? They're uprooting a total malacha, which is the same thing like harisha. It's one of the lamatas malachas. And obviously you see that it's not considered Iker Kol HaGuf. And that says the Gemara, no, Hasam Namik edition. And there it's also like we answered. Maybe if they were uprooting the entirety of haitzah, then they would be pater, like we want to say for harisha. But there, they were saying that haitzah is aser. They were just permitting stretching from handing it over from one domain to another or throwing it, but that's not uprooting even the whole malacha of haitzah, and that's why maybe it wasn't considered Iker Kol HaGuf. Tashma, Gemara continues trying to prove from our Mishnah from the next category. Yesh avodah zarah kechav matayv. The court says, of course, the avodah zarah is prohibited in the Torah. Av mishtach v'patur, but someone bows down, he's exempt. If they rule erroneously like that, then they're chayiv if the majority of the Jewish people follow them. Vamai, but why? But they're uprooting the entirety of a halacha of bowing down to avodah zarah. Obviously, that's not considered Iker Kol HaGuf. Says the Gemara, no, amri hishtach avoy, and amri kedishnin. They said that also, only they were telling you that bowing down in this normal way is permitted. But of course, bowing down in a regular way, they were saying, is prohibited, which is not Iker Kol HaGuf, even of this halacha itself. And therefore, they were chayiv, but could be, if it was the whole category, even though it's not the whole general halacha, that one would be pater, and therefore there's no proof. Continues the Gemara with another question. Boy Reb Zeira. Let's say the court erroneously ruled, and they said, Ein Shabbos b'shvias. There's no halacha of the laws of Shabbos in the Shmitir. Now, what's the halacha? So the Gemara explains. But my toe, what was the error of the Sanhedrin? Badin Kra, in this pasuk of Shemais, says, B'charesh u'bakatzer tishbais. In the plowing and the reaping, one should cease to do these malachas, which sounds like bezman de'ikah harisha in the other years of the Shemitah, the 6 years of the Shemitah cycle, which is when people plow. That's when the pasuk is telling us tishbeis that ikah Shabbos. And then that's where the halacha of Shabbos, which to desist from that malacha on the seventh day would apply. But bezman de'ikah harisha, but at a time when there is no plowing, because we're in the Shemitah year, where anyways no one's plowing or reaping. Then like a Shabbos, then the halacha of Shabbos wouldn't apply. So therefore they said, in the Shemitah year, there's no halachas of Shabbos. So what's the question? So explains the Gemara. Mi amrina, do we say, kivin the mekayman lo b'shar shnei shavua, since they were maintaining, of course Shabbos applies in the other years of Shemitah. So kibitl mixes v'ki mixes dame, so therefore their uprooting of this halacha of Shabbos is only like uprooting part of it, but maintaining the other part of it. Because in the other 6 years of the Shemitah cycle, they say, of course it's prohibited to do malacha on Shabbos. And it's only in the Shemitah year that you don't have to. Idemo, maybe kimin de ka'akrin le'bishviyas, since in the Shemitah year they're uprooting the totality of Shabbos, ka'kir sa'guftim is like uprooting the whole halach itself, and therefore they would be potter. So Amar Avinu says, Toshima, let's bring a raya from the following brisa. The brisa says, Navi, regarding a prophet who initially was a true prophet, so therefore the people would follow and listen to what he says. But at the end he became a Navi Shaker, a false prophet. Shunisnabi lakar dava medivri tari, that he prophesied to uproot one of the halachas in the Torah, says the Braisa, Sechayev. So he's liable, and according to everyone, he's going to be liable for the death penalty of chenek, of strangulation. Let's say he says, Lebitl mixes l'ki mixes. Let's say he comes out with a prophecy regarding any of the other mitzvahs in the Torah, that he says, okay, part of the mitzvah applies, but part of the mitzvah doesn't apply. So b'shimen oimer pater, and the same thing applies to Rabbanan, that he says that, in this case, the prophet is going to be exempt from the halacha of Navi Sheker. Now, but avodas kechavim regarding idol worship, afila amar hayoyim avda ulamacha batla. Even if he says that today you serve the avodas zarah, tomorrow you don't, which that's kiyam mixtus abitl mixtus of avodas zarah, where he's uprooting part of the iser, but he's maintaining part of it. Today he's saying there's no problem, tomorrow there is a problem. So then Chayiv, in that case, he's going to be liable for being a Navi Shaker, because the Torah says, L'hadichachem en aderech, if the prophet comes along to push you away from the path, which sounds like even part of the path, and in that context, the Pasuk talking about Avodah Zarah. So when the Braisa says that the Navi Shaker is going to be liable, that would be different according to different opinions. According to Rabbanan, he'll get Skila. According to Rav Shimon, he's going to get Chenek. As the Gemara explains this, it's an hedgend of Tzadim and Beis. But the halacha is that when he says, today you serve the Avodah Zarah and tomorrow you don't, that is like saying there's no Shabbos in the Shemitah year, but there is Shabbos in the non-Shemitah years. And we see the Braisa is calling that Bitl Mitzvahs and Kiyum Mitzvahs. Because although other Isurim, other mitzvah in the Torah, for Kiyum Mitzvahs and Bitl Mitzvahs, we say he's going to be Pater, but by Avodah Zarah, that's unique, he's going to be Chayiv. Says Gemara, Shema Amino, what we can infer from that is ain't Shabbos b'Shvias, when the Bezdin says there's no Shabbos in the Shemitah year, kibitl mikzas or kiyum mikzas dami, that's the same thing like nullifying part of it but maintaining part of it, just like saying do avodah zarah today but don't do it tomorrow, which we're saying that's the contrast with the bitl mikzas or kiyum mikzas of others, whereby avodah zarah can be chayiv. Shema Amino, so obviously that a case of kiyum mikzas or bitl mikzas, and if they said ain't Shabbos b'Shvias, they would be chayiv apar helm davish al tzibah. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of this parak, this Masechta. Hayru Bezdin, the court erroneously ruled. Now, V'yod Echad Men Shato, one of the court members of the Sanhedrin, he realized they're making a mistake. V'amalhen Tainat, he tells them, you guys are making a mistake. And therefore, it's not a bona fide ruling of the court. And that's why the court's going to be exempt, even if they go ahead with the ruling, because as the Gemara had said previously, you need to have that all the members of the court go ahead with the ruling. And this guy's coming out and he's telling them, I'm not coming along with this because it's mistaken. Oy, or another case, Shlahaya Mufla Shel Bezdin Sham. Let's say the leader, the dean of the court was not there. Now, although he's not part of the Sanhedrin themselves, because if he was part of the Sanhedrin, then even the smallest judge of them all, if he wasn't there, that itself already would make it not an appropriate ruling. As the Gemara says later on, because it says, im kol adas, which tells us that the whole Sanhedrin has to be there to be considered a hayra, if not. But we could say that, although this mufla is the highest member of the Sanhedrin, there could be he had to leave somewhere, and therefore they had appointed someone else in his place. Or he was an elderly person that had no children, which, as we're going to say shortly, he's not valid anymore to be a member of the Sanhedrin. So they appointed someone else to be his place in the Sanhedrin, but he's still the mufla, and he has to be there, as the Gemara will explain. So let's say he wasn't there. Or let's say one of the court members was a ger, a convert, a mamzer, or a legitimate child, or a nosin, or from the people of the Gevainim, or an elderly person that's not fit to have children, which Rashi says he doesn't know why such a person wouldn't be valid to be on the Sanhedrin. But the Rishonim bring down that one interpretation is actually, it's not necessarily an old elderly person. It just means that if the majority of his childbearing years has passed and he's not going to have children anymore, because it's when a father who has mercy on his child, if someone who doesn't have children, he doesn't have so much mercy, and he's not going to be so easygoing on the one who they're prosecuting. And you need to have for shaftu eid v'tzilu eid that the judge should try to find favor for the one who's being prosecuted. Well, the Rambam actually does have the gears of zaken and doesn't have children, because when a person gets very old, he's not so merciful anymore. He's like more like. He's like, yeah, you deserve it and whatever. So again, the idea that a member of the Sanhedrin has to be someone that could find favor for the one who's being prosecuted, and therefore he's also not valid to be on the Sanhedrin. So if it's any one of these cases, says the Mishnah, raise the Pater. So then if the court went ahead with the ruling, since it's not valid as a Hayra of the Bezdin, so they're going to be exempt even if the Jewish people follow the erroneous ruling. Why? Shnemekan Eidah, because it says over here in the Pasig, in these halachas, it says in Beyukar Dalad, in Kaladas Yisol Yishku. So it says the word Eidah, the assembly. Benemalahalan Eidah, and it says over there when it talks about the halachas of Din Nefashas, of capital punishment, it says Veshaftu Eidah Betzilu Eidah, which is the Sanhedrin, as the Gemara says in the beginning of the Sefer Sanhedrin. Now, Ma Eidah Hamur Lahalan Kulin Ruin Lahairah, just like over there with Sanhedrin, it has to be that assembly are all people that are valid to give a ruling, because they have to be members of the Sanhedrin, which a ger is not valid, mamzer, they can't be in the Sanhedrin. Af eda murakan, achiyu kul and roin l'ra. So we also learn from the word, from the gzeir shav av eda, that also has to be all those who are fit to give a ruling, which does not apply if one person is rejecting, or if the mufla is not there, or if one of the members of the bezdin is a mamzer, ger, or nasin, someone that's not valid to be a hayra on the Sanhedrin. Now the Mishnah had said, let's say the leader of the court wasn't there, and they went ahead and they did this erroneous psak and the Jewish people followed them, they're exempt from the halacha parhelm davar shel tzibur. So it's like, Rav Manolan, where do we know this from? Amar Rav Sheshes, v'chein tan de b'ri so too was torn in the shiri b'shmol, a b'raisa, m'neima, Amar, why did they say, as we said previously, why is it that if the court erroneously ruled regarding something that even the tzedukin is agree is forbidden, that's written in the Torah, and the court had said, no, that's permitted, and if they rule this in error, that they're going to be exempt from the halacha par, so we said, because they should have learned, and they didn't. It's a pasuk chumash. How can you say that's permitted when the Torah says in the chumash, even the tzedukin agree to it, that it's asr? So they should have learned, they didn't, therefore it's not a shoygig, it's not like vanelam me'ene eda, it's like close to being a deliberate sin. And therefore that doesn't qualify with hazalacha. So too over here, lahoya muflash al-bazn sham name paturin. So if the leader of the court wasn't there, they're also exempt, and they shall hayulahem lumen v'lelamdu. They should have learned, they didn't. They knew that he wasn't there, and therefore they should have put in more diligence to make sure what they're ruling is correct, because he wasn't there to have oversight. So just like if it's a pasuk chumash, you should have learned more, and if not, it's like close to amazing. Also, when the mufl is not there, it's very close to being that if you didn't put in the extra effort, that you should have learned, you didn't. It's close to be amazing. It's not going to qualify with halacha of parhelm davishal tzibra. Now the Mishnah continued and said that how do we know that if it has one of the members is a ger, mams or nasan, zaken that doesn't have children, that if that was part of the members of this court, that's not going to qualify with this halacha. Because Nemesham Eda and Nemekan Eda. Just like it says over there, Eda Soto here, is actually a cool and rule I raw. Just like over there, by Sanhedrin, has to be that they're all fit to give a psak, to give a ruling, so too over here. Now, says the Gemara Vahasam and Allah, and over there, how do we know that all the members of Sanhedrin have to be fit to give a ruling? Says the Gemara, Da'am Rav Chizda, because like Rav Chizda said, we learn out from Moshe Rabbeinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the one who appointed the first Sanhedrin, that they were all people that were fit and eligible to give rulings. Because Amakra, the Pasuk says by Midbar that Hashem told the Moshe Rabbeinu when he was making the 70 Sanhedrin, v'syatzu sham imach, that they should stand over there with you. What does it mean, with you? Imach, p'daymalach, with you means similar to you, that they should all be fit to give rulings at Big Tamid HaChacham, just like you. So to over here, we require that the Sanhedrin should have to be people that are fit to give a hira. And since we find that it says over there the word Eda, and it says over here the word Eda, so we learn out that it has to be, just like over there, the Sanhedrin HaGadol, as it's taught in the Bryson Teres Kanam, Adas Yisrael is the Eidaham Yuchedis L'chol Yisrael, and that's the Sanhedrin HaGdailah, and that's also, as we said, it has to be those who are fit to give Hayra, unlike Mamzer Nas and all these individuals are not valid, as the Gemara learns in Sanhedrin, of being on the Sanhedrin. However, the Gemara asks, but Ve'ema Imach L'shchina, how do you know Imach means, with you means similar to you? Maybe it means that to tell what the context of was taking place over there, that Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, because of the Shechina, the Divine Presence, that you should have those 70 elders stand with you, meaning, and they should not go inside the holies of the holies where the Shechina is. Because you would think to say that since it says, Asfali, Hashem says, gather for me, that they should come into where the Shechina is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Maybe that's what the Pasuk is teaching, that no, let them stay with you because of the Shechina, not to come inside to where I am. Or what the Gemara's question is, Imach L'Shechina means, they should be with you because of the Divine Presence. In other words, you should pick out very righteous people that I want, that I should be able to have my Divine Presence rest on them. But who said they have to be fit for rulings? Elam Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, no, because Amakra, the Pasuk says in Shemais, V'nosu itach, they should carry with you. What's that coming to teach? Itach b'daymalach, with you, means similar to you, that they should be fit to give a hayra, which we said excludes a zaken that doesn't have children, can't have children, or ger, or mamzer, or nasin. All these cases would be not qualified to give a haram, and that's how we know that these people are not going to be, just like not valid for Sanhedrin, so from the Gzeir Shav of Eda, are not going to be qualified for halacha parhelm davish al tzibra. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Hayru bezn shaygin, if the court ruled in error, they didn't realize that they were permitting something that's really forbidden. V'asu kal hakal shaygin, and the whole Jewish people follow their ruling also by mistake, meaning because they're just following the ruling of the court. So then that's the classic halacha, that the court is mevin par. They bring a bull, each opinion according to, as we'll see in the following Mishnah, according to Reb Meir, how he holds, Reb Yehuda, how he holds, Reb Shimon, how he holds. But the point is that this is a bona fide mistaken ruling to be liable for the parhelm davish al tzibra. But let's say the court ruled mezidin, they were deliberate. They were malicious, this court. They knew that it's really forbidden, but they said it's permitted. V'asu, but the people, they did it shagin. They were mistaken. They thought, okay, the rabbis say we can do it, so we're doing it. So that's not a case of a bona fide hayra, because the pasuk says, "Im kol adas Yisrael yishku." If the entirety of the Jewish people were in error, which we need that the court also has to be in error. And here, although the Jewish people's action was in error, but we didn't have an error in the court's ruling. So therefore, says the Mishnah, in this case, Mevi'in, so every single person from the Jewish people, they bring kispa v'se'ira, they bring their own individual she-lamb or she-goat, like individual sinners. Now, let's say the court ruled shaygin. Let's say the court had actually made a mistake. But v'asu mezidin, but the people knew that they made a mistake. And they were doing it deliberately. So then harel paturin, so then they're going to be exempt, meaning they're not going to qualify with halacha par halam davashal tzibur, because since they're doing it deliberately, they don't qualify for a carbon like any mezid, because one only brings a carbon when it was done in error. Now, the Gemara makes the following inference. Shaygin v'asu mezidin, the Mishnah had said, as we just quoted, that if the court had ruled erroneously, but the people did it deliberately, hare'ela b'turin. So then we said that then they're going to be exempt because someone who does something deliberately is not valid to bring a carbon, neither if it's an individual or if it's the whole public. But the inference is, hashagig dumi de mezid. But let's say it wasn't a full-fledged mezid that they had done. Let's say it was something that they had done by mistake, which is similar to deliberate. That's not literally relying on the court, but it's somewhat like relying on themselves. Then it sounds like chayiv, that then they would be liable for the carbon par helm davishal tzibur, because it was ultimately the action was done by mistake. Now, what would this case be? Shahay ribez and shechele mutter, where the court had ruled that some of the forbidden fats, which are, let's say, those that are on the stomach but not those that are on the kidneys, because or else, like we had said previously, would be considered ikur kala guf, operating a whole halacha would not apply for the halacha par helm davishal tzibur. So they ruled that some of the forbidden fats are permitted. Then the Jewish people sat down to eat shuman, and really, it was mixed up, it was really chalev. So then, it sounds like from the inference of our Mishnah, that then they would be liable, because that would be considered as if they're relying on themselves. So the Gemara makes an inference from the halacha that the Mishnah just ended off with. It sounds like, shaygin, that if the court made a ruling, v'asu mezidin, but if the Jewish people went and did it deliberately, they knew the court had made a mistake. And they're really not supposed to do this, but they did it deliberately anyway. So the Mishnah said, harei eile b'turin. So in that case, they're going to be exempt from the carbon of parhelm davishal tzibur, or of any carbon for that matter, because they're deliberate sinners, which you can't bring a carbon. Not a carbon tzibur, not a carbon yachid, because a carbon is only when one does a sin erroneously. Now, the inference, however, is, hashagig dumi demezid. Let's say it's not a full mezid. It's something that they did by mistake, but it's similar to a mezid. Meaning, to say that they're not totally reliant on the court. Totally reliant on the court. So then, that would be a carbon of helm davishal tzibur. Now, but when they're deliberate, then we said, then there's no carbon at all. But let's say someone somewhere in the middle, where he's shaygig, but not totally shaygig, because on some level he's relying on himself. Then it sounds like that chayiv. Then the individuals, the whole tzibur, would be chayiv a carbon chatas, because ultimately the shkaga of maisa in their action, they were erroneously, they made a mistake, and therefore then they'd be chayiv. Now the hechadim, what would this case be? Says the Gemara as follows: Shahari bezin shechelev mutter. If the court ruled that some of the forbidden fats is permitted, which is, let's say they say forbidden fats on the intestine, on the stomach is permitted, but not those on the kidneys, because or else we said that would be considered uprooting a whole halacha, and then it wouldn't qualify for halacha of the parhelm davishal tzibur. So they say that part of the forbidden fats are permitted. Then the Jewish people were sitting down to eat a meal with fats. They thought it was the permitted fats, and really turns out it was the forbidden fats. It sounds like that in that case, that the individuals, all of them, would be liable their own carbon chatas. Why? Because he's relying on himself. In other words, this that the Gemara is calling this dumi demezid is because that just like when someone does a deliberate sin, as we said in the case of the Mishnah, the court made an erroneous ruling. And we said, but if the people do it demezid, what that means to say essentially is because they're not relying on the court. So here also, when this guy is doing a shogi dumi demezid, of course he's doing by mistake. He actually thinks he's eating permitted fats. But it's dumi demezid in the context that he's not really relying on the court. Sounds like that halacha would, yes, be chayav karban chatzis. It's not considered a full-fledged mezid to not have any carbon, but neither is it considered enough of a shaygig to be exempt with a parhelm davishal tzibur. Says the Gemara, so let's say this resolves the question of Rabbi Chama, who asked this exact question at the beginning of the Masechtan of Beis Amid Aleph, where he wanted to know what, and we had Rav either way saying it yes or no, but his question was, what would the halacha be? If they rely on the court, they'd be exempt. They were lying, but they didn't know. It got mixed up. A regular case of mixing up, chayv a carbon chata. So what would the halacha be? Let's say this proves it, that they would be chayv their own carbon chatas. And that says Gemara, no, Amalach, Ramacham would tell you that this, that it says this case in the Mishnah of Shaygin v'asim mezidin, that the court was in error, but the people were deliberate, it's not to make the inference that we're making. Rather, Mishum detana reisha mezidin v'asim shaygin, since the Mishnah was teaching us the case of when the court was deliberate and the people were erroneous, with that we have to teach you that although they were following the court ruling, they can mechayev their own individual kabbanis, because there was no shagaga in the Hiruas Bezin, so it's on the safer shagin vasmazin, and therefore just to parallel that, the safer set, a case of when the court was in error, when the people were deliberate, but not to make any inference, and therefore we cannot resolve Rama Muhammad's question at all from this Mishnah, and therefore it would still be a question regarding if, let's say, the court ruled that certain forbidden fats are permitted, and if the Jewish people followed that, they'd be exempt from their own private carbon. But they didn't realize that. They, by mistake, ate that which the court had permitted. That was his question. Is that going to be in that halacha of being exempt? Or no, would they be chayiv? Because they're not really relying. They're really on some level toilah ba'atzmai. He didn't mean to rely on the court's ruling. In a way, he's relying on himself. That's what the Gemara calls a shaygid karv lemezid. That says the Gemara, we can't infer that from the halacha of the Mishnah that when they do b'mezid, then they're exempt. But if they do it karv lemezid, then be chayiv. Like we said, because it was only kedin nisba, so it's just to parallel the case of the resha, but not to make that dik, and if it doesn't resolve Rambam's question.